This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 7:13. I knew what I wanted to do when I was 4 years old, and I wound up doing it. And our next guest apparently knew what he wanted to do as a young man, and he wound up doing it as well. And with that, we welcome in the newly minted director of the U.S. Mint, Paul Hollis. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I'm doing great.
I'm guessing I'm not the first one to say newly minted head of the mint, am I?
Actually, you're the first one that has said that, and then the cents and the penny, those comments seem to be flowing creatively as well. So, anyway.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. You grew up here?
Yeah, I did, in Metairie. I mean, I was a strange kid. A measuring stick to determine, you know, if you were going to be my buddy or not was, you know, I showed you a collection of coins, and, mm-hmm. you know, you either looked at it and ignored it like most people, or you looked at it and thought, wow, that's really cool. But I have two brothers, and they both thought, man, our little brother's weird, you know, but I've always loved coins.
At what point in your life that you were, I remember 4 years old deciding what I wanted to do, or realizing what I wanted to do, and I just wonder, at what point do you remember an age where, for whatever reason, something happened, an aunt gave you a coin or something fascinated you by them?
Yeah, my earliest memory, believe it or not, my grandma from Monroe, Louisiana, we used to go up there, spend a lot of time during holidays. She had a peace dollar that was made right after World War I that she had saved, offered it to my two brothers. They weren't really interested, showed it to me, and Tommy, I just wouldn't let that coin go. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
And how old were you, Paul?
I was 7 at the time.
That's awesome, man. That's great. So how do you go from there to running the U.S. Mint?
Well, it's so strange. I just followed all the cues in my life. I'm sure remember my dad. He served in the state Senate for 26 years. Sure. He inspired a great deal of, he just inspired me in every way imaginable. When I graduated from LSU, I went to work for a big coin company in Louisiana. And then there was an opportunity to run for the state house seat, and I ran for that, and I served for 12 years. Meanwhile, I continued to trade, you know, a bunch of collectible coins. About 15 years ago, we exhibited one of the coolest coins that was ever made in New Orleans, and we exhibited at the New Orleans Mint. And so I guess my point to you is I've had a nice little mix of public service and then doing something very unusual. A lot of people in politics are lawyers or consultants or CPAs, but I'm probably the only person that ever traded collectible coins. But fast forward to last year, 2024, even before the election, I expressed some interest in being the U.S. Mint director. I'm obviously thrilled. Louisiana, as you know, has so many high-ranking federal officials. I mean, at the very top on the House side is my friend, Speaker Johnson, and then, of course, Steve Scalise, serving as House Majority Leader. And with the federal power that Louisiana has, we're punching way, way above our weight. I thought this just might happen, and here we are a year or so later, and it's happening.
That's awesome. You are an affirmed numismatist. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any need to bring religion into it, Paul. I'm just kidding. No, tell people what that is. It's a coin collector, right?
You got it. Yeah, people in this industry can't even say correct, so you did real well. I'm a professional numismatist, and it's a bigger industry than what a lot of people think, but I've been trading collectible coins since I was really young, and professionally that's all that I've done. And the historic aspect of this appointment is twofold. First time somebody from Louisiana has served in this capacity. There's only been 40 U.S. Mint directors up until this point, going back to 1792. So that surprises a lot of people. Fewer Mint directors confirmed than presidents of the United States.
Wow.
And so, I'll be number 41. I intend to take my swearing in on Monday. The president actually just 2 days ago on Wednesday sign the commission. So even after it goes through the confirmation process, you still have to have your official commission signed. And that was just done 2 days ago. And then I'll look forward to taking office and then hopefully having a more formal swearing in when a lot of people from Louisiana go to D.C. Mardi Gras. And in my world of fantasy, Speaker Mike Johnson will swear me in, and hopefully we can work out the details to have that done. And it is historic. And the other reason is not just the first time someone from Louisiana, but somebody that truly has a lifelong understanding of coins and appreciation for their history to serve in this role. So the numismatic world is obviously excited to have someone especially serving with America 250 this year. You know, that's historic in itself.
So what is the deal with the penny? Is it here? Well, is it gone? Is it not? I'm confused about that.
There'll be pennies around forever because, you know, over half a trillion have been struck since they were first produced back in 1793. But as you know, over the last 10 years, the cost of production, the cost of, you know, the metallic contents used, zinc and to a smaller degree, copper, have become so expensive, the cost of producing them has made it, you know, I think, unnecessary. And I was happy to see the administration, not surprised to have them. There was no Mint director in place at that time, but the administration, as I appreciate, said, let's no longer do this. And it says save taxpayers somewhere in the neighborhood of $75 million. And I think that's significant. So there'll be rounding that's going to be done. And other nations, Tommy, they've done it. So we're not the first nation to do it, recognizing inflation over time.
So let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because I want to talk about with electronic currency and so forth. What does the future of coins look like? And is there a possibility of my dad, you know, as you say this, Paul, my dad used to collect coins, and I realized he passed away maybe 20 years ago, and I got a box of coins in my attic somewhere that I just put up there. They might have something valuable in it. Hell, that could be my retirement up in my attic.
It
I don't even realize that. I don't
could
know.
Be.
Yeah, I may have to have a numismatist look at it.
There you go.
720 more with the newly appointed director of the U.S. Mint, Paul Hollis, when we come back. First one from Louisiana, 720, traffic now, WWL. 724 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Paul Hollis, director of the U.S. Mint. There have been less directors of the U.S. Mint than there have been presidents. Paul, how long do you serve? How long's your term? Until death?
No, it's not. It's a five-year term, but you really serve at the pleasure of the president, the person that appoints you for the position and then confirmed by the Senate, which fortunately has all been done.
So your favorite coin, as I understand it, is a 1925 U.S. Indian head quarter nickel. That's your lucky coin?
Yeah, $2.50 gold coin. Yeah, the coin my grandma gave me was a peace dollar, so that was silver. But when she died, and that was 20-some-odd years ago, she had worn around her neck in a bezel a $2.50 gold coin that she had saved through the Great Depression. And so after she died, I had that put in a little acrylic holder, and then I have her name on it and the date of her lifetime. And so it's the coin that I carry with me during every major life event.
So it's in an acrylic holder. You're not going to put that in a vending machine. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a – no, seriously, have you ever had a coin in your pocket that you mistakenly put in a vending machine?
No, because, Tommy, most of the nice coins are put in acrylic holders. They're slabs or third-party graded. That's a thing that they started doing in the 1980s. So the odds of that – I mean, you probably remember in the 70s and 80s, people would spend silver coins accidentally, but
most
of those have been taken now from change. But you'd mentioned, you know, the stuff in your attic.
Yeah.
Your dad might add a bunch of silver coins.
I'm sure he does.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And I'll tell you something else that I'll bet he has is a lot of silver dollars to go back to the day.
Right, and you've seen the price of silver spike. I mean, silver's now like $70 an ounce. Gold's $4,300, and price has moved up crazy.
All right, Tim, play some music. I'm going to my attic to see what I have in there, and I'll let me. What makes the coin? I remember, you know, my dad, something about the coins had to not be touched or something like that, mint condition. What is that?
Yeah, I mean, most coins go into circulation, but the really rare coins are the ones that have been preserved over time. And so many people think that when you find a nice coin, you want to clean it. That's the last thing you want to do. The really high-quality, valuable coins are the ones that have defied time with incredible states of preservation. So if you have a coin that has any wear on it, probably not terribly valuable, but that's not always the case. It could be a very rare date. But the coins that collectors cherish are coins that are, you know, really old, but in a real high state of preservation.
So a little bit of what you do is going to be day to day, but you also are looking 5 and 10 years down the line as the director of the Mint. What is on your radar, Paul, for 5 and 10 years down the line as far as coins go?
There was a time, Tommy, the Mint used to turn over. I mean, it's funded by itself, its operations. They sell coins to the Federal Reserve banks, and so and they sell it at face value. So if you make your money on seniorage, which is the difference between production cost and the actual face value, that's how you turn over a significant number of dollars to Treasury. There have been times in the past they've turned over $500 or $600 million a year, and in recent memory, it hasn't been anywhere near that. So number one, I'd like to strive for efficiency so that we can turn over greater dollars to Treasury. But number two, to create a bunch of collectors like me that have an appreciation for history. And there's no better time for me to be at the helm here, because with America 250, a bunch of new coin designs are going to come out. And each one of them, they're like a small, you know, metallic canvas for America's brand. And you had mentioned your dad's coins. There are coins that great-great-great-grandfather's coins. My point is coins can last hundreds or even a thousand or more years. And so the fact that America strikes, you know, billions of coins every year, that's our brand. That's something that ties us all together. And they're always very thoughtful. It's not easy to come up with the design on the obverse, the reverse of a coin. But my point is we've been doing it since 1792. And some of these coins are still around today, hundreds of years later. So I go at the helm of the United States Mint, recognizing there's thousands of employees that are committed to this task, and that we become history in your hands that we create for Americans, with the ultimate goal being to provide coins for commerce, but in that same space is the recognition that, you know, we create history.
You have any idea what's waiting for you or not?
An idea, yeah, because I've, you know, been friends with former directors, and I've watched the decision making that they've made. But there's so many professionals in that space that have served 20, 30 years. So I'll have a lot of experts weighing in on, you know, whatever major decisions are going to be at hand in the near future.
And I guess you would be the guy or committee who approves the artwork before a coin is struck.
It's pretty complicated, but fortunately, I think if you're going to pin it down to one individual, although that's tough in itself, Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent would be the person whose final say. But there's different entities that weigh in, the Commission of Fine Arts, and you've got the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee, and there's a number of different members to each one of those groups. And you can imagine it is a process that's purposely not designed so one person says, hey, this is what we're going to do. They're very thoughtful, and a lot goes into it.
I just wanted to know where to send the selfie of myself. But look, Paul, put it on a, please. I'm not a handsome guy. Put it on a very small coin, okay? On a dime.
High profile. How's
something
that?
Small,
high
yeah.
Profile. You can so, get away with a lot. There,
very so. Small. Thank you, sir. Right. Appreciate it. Good luck, Paul. Nice talking
pleasure.
To you.
You
bet.
You.
Paul Hollis, new director of the U.S. Mint. 7:30, we'll talk to Joe Geruso when we come back on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.